Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Ed Harry. Coming up.
Season one has won it. He rounded the goalkeeper, and the South Korean was so composed. The stadium of light erupts.
The Premier League leaders Manchester City lose at Sunderland, who score with the last kick of the game. Organisers of the London Olympics set up a dedicated intelligence unit to combat spot fixing. And ahead of the second test in Sydney, Australia's cricketers say they're determined to stop Sachin Tendulkar from scoring his 100th international century. But we begin with English Premier League football and defeat for the leaders Manchester City, beaten 1-0 at Sunderland. City remain level on points with second-placed Manchester United, who'd lost at home to Blackburn on Saturday. Sunderland substitute Ji Dong Won scored the latest of winners for Martin O'Neill's side. There wasn't even time to restart the game. Watching at the Stadium of Light was the BBC's Conor McNamara.
The culmination of a remarkable weekend in the Premier League. Both Manchester clubs beaten and third place Tottenham held to a draw. City remain on top of the table but only on goal difference after the Korean striker Ji won the game with just 4 seconds remaining in stoppage time. It provides Martin O'Neill with his most significant results since taking charge of the Stadium of Light. Adding insult to injury for Manchester City is that they hit the crossbar twice without scoring, and worse, TV replays suggest the winning goal was probably offside. For Roberto Mancini, it's a case of lightning striking twice. His team also lost here last season to a last-minute goal. Mancini now has 48 hours to prepare his players for their next game against Liverpool on Tuesday.
And we can hear now from the Manchester City manager. Roberto Mancini couldn't really understand how they'd lost the game.
I know the football very well, and I think that we deserve to win this game, because I don't know how many chances we had in the second half. But this pitch is very lucky for me and for the squad, because we lost last year the same in the end. I think after that we had a lot of chance to score, today the same. But I think that we can the same. But I think that we can consider a 2-3 counter-attack in the last 5 minutes. Was very dangerous. But that's it. It's finished.
You didn't score, but are you more, as you mentioned, more concerned that you conceded so late in the game?
No, I think that we conceded the first half. We didn't play well. There were three or four players that didn't play very, very well. Also, they played badly. But in the second half, we did better. We had a lot of chance. But when we are on the pitch, that we need to understand that if we can't win, we can't lose the game.
You've got to play Liverpool, a very strong side, in 48 hours' time.
Yeah.
That's not fair, is it?
I think that is a very strong moment. I think that we need to have a good concentration for the next game, 48 hours. We'll try to do our best.
Well, for Sunderland's manager Martin O'Neill, it was his biggest win since taking charge last month, and he felt the manner of their winning goal summed up what the team is all about.
Players were prepared to throw their bodies in the line. Then suddenly we break with a minute to go, and I was just asking there again, was I ushering them to the corner flag? Remarkably, I wasn't this time, because I'd thought, even if we were dispossessed, that Manchester City might not have enough time to get up the field, because in my head I was kind of counting down time. And so I was actually pleased to see, I thought that G might actually take the player on the edge of the penalty area. As it turns out, he's played it across goal. G is, and Sessegnon's done fantastically well to manoeuvre something in there. And of course we end up getting the goal, which is just utopia.
Sunderland manager Martin O'Neill. Everton, meanwhile, are up to ninth in the Premier League after their 1-0 victory at West Bromwich Albion on Sunday. Substitute Victor Anichebe scoring their winner late on. More from the BBC's Pat Murphy.
It was a soft goal near the end that relieved the numbing tedium of an attritional game, with Paul Sharner's misdirected clearing header allowing Victor Anichebe to turn a slider shot in from 6 yards. But the exquisite pass from Leon Osman to set up the decisive move was out of context with the match. Shane Long, then Peter Onewinga, ought to put West Brom ahead, but they lacked penetration down the flanks and again huffed and puffed in front of their own fans. That's their sixth league defeat at the Hawthorns this season, and Everton's disciplined shape and resilience were the difference between the two sides.
Pat Murphy with that report. Let's hear from the goal scorer then, Victor Anichebe. That goal for him marked a successful return following 4 months sidelined through injury. It was also his first goal for almost 2 years. But as the Nigerian forward explained, there was still some uncertainty about whether he'd even be involved in Sunday's game.
I don't think it was too much of a gamble because it was touch and go, you know, last week for Sunderland as well. So I sort of knew, you know, I might be involved today, you know, when the gaffer finally gave me the word, you know, to go on. I was quite nervous at the start, you know, because I've been out for such a long time. But, you know, when you get on the pitch, the players help you, the likes of Tim Cahill, all of them, you know, they help me get through it, even though I've been there before. But it's still, you know, it's still been a long time, so I'm just happy, you know, to be back on the pitch. Hopefully I can stay on it.
Victor Anichebe, his winning goal today for Everton at West Bromwich Albion. The former Arsenal midfielder Stuart Robson has told the BBC he's worried that Thierry Henry's return to the club could have a negative impact on the team. Henry, Arsenal's all-time record goalscorer, is set to rejoin on a two-month loan from the New York Red Bulls. He originally left North London 4 years ago to join Barcelona. Robson, who played for Arsenal between 1981 and 86, says the 34-year-old's return now could cause divisions in the squad.
The problem with Thierry Henry, and I spoke to a couple of younger players, maybe a year ago, they were, several of them were pleased to see the back of him because he had a massive ego. He dictated at times what went on in training. He didn't help some of the younger players. And I think more pressure will be heaped on Robin Van Persie. He is Arsenal's best player by a mile at the moment. And to bring Thierry Henry back, who I don't think he always got on with Robin Van Persie, I think it may cause a problem. I hope it doesn't, but I think it may do.
The British government's Olympic minister Hugh Robertson believes spot fixing, illegal betting on specific passages of play in sport, has overtaken doping as the biggest threat to the integrity of the 2012 Games. Organisers are setting up a dedicated intelligence unit to target betting syndicates. Specialist team will monitor suspicious betting patterns and also share intelligence on anyone attempting to bribe athletes into fixing. Mr Robertson says they must be prepared.
The real danger lies in spot fixing. Just consider how easy it is to bet on something like the first short corner in a hockey game. Any team sport, you can bet on an individual action or occurrence. So you look at the number of team sports that there are in the Olympics and the real threat becomes very obvious.
Australia's cricketers say they're determined to prevent India's Sachin Tendulkar from scoring an historic 100th international century in the second test in Sydney, which begins on Tuesday. Tendulkar has been stuck on 99 hundreds since March of 2011, but he scored an impressive 73 as India lost last week's first test in Melbourne. Australian batsman Mike Hussey has told local reporters, "Everyone in our dressing room does not want him to make 100. Meanwhile, the host's head coach Mickey Arthur is calling for his team to remain consistent, and he also believes the conditions in Sydney could be a major factor.
I think if you look at Sachin and certainly VVS Laxman has also played very, very well in Sydney. I think Sydney traditionally bounced a little bit lower. The character has, however, changed just a little bit. So be interesting to see what we get tomorrow. Good teams become ruthless, good teams are consistent, and their good teams' highs and lows are close.
In tennis, despite a brave performance from the home favourite and former world number one Leighton Hewitt, Australia lost 2-1 to Spain in their opening tie in the round-robin stage of the Hotman Cup in Perth. Hewitt, playing his first match since suffering a serious toe injury in September, was beaten by Fernando Velasco in 3 sets. Hewitt says calls chances of him retiring are slim. He hopes to play for another couple of years and to be able to play pain-free, but losing there in Perth on Sunday. The Hotman Cup is a mixed team event and one of the key warm-up tournaments ahead of the Australian Open, the year's first Grand Slam, which takes place later this month.